Hello everyone, this is Mike Quinsey connecting the line. My guest today is James Taylor, who is making a return visit from last July. He is a retired business executive with a reputation for solving complex problems. He lectures on human energy, and today he has teamed up with his illuminary, Dr. Rich Anderson, and they combine their efforts to bring some technologies, modalities, and knowledge to the planet to heal, cleanse, transmute, and purify. So welcome to the program to James and Dr. Rich.
It's a pleasure to be here. Thank you very much for having us.
Yes, thank you. Appreciate it.
Great. Now, I think the $64 question really is to go straight in and say, what is the purpose of what you're doing?
Well, I can answer that. To understand what we're really doing, one needs to learn something about the sciences that are actually changing the planet as we speak. The findings in quantum physics, neuroscience, and biology have basically found the footprint of what people call God. And by that I mean that, in fact, some people, some scientists, believe that they actually have found God. And let me explain so you'll run away. But what we're talking about is quantum physics has shown that there's this massive energy field that they call the field. They call it zero point. They call it the unified field of pure potential. They have various names for it. But it's everywhere throughout the entire universe. And this is an energy that is so massive that within every cubic inch or less, there is more energy than all the stars in all the galaxies that the Hubble telescope can see. This is massive. And many, many scientists are trying to tap into that energy. What's really unique about this energy is that the energy unites everything. It's in everything. It is basically the source and cause of everything. And they call it entanglement. That's the scientific term. So it connects everything. And a good example of this is if you take a proton and you have two protons that are related, and if you take one proton and you put it on the other side of the galaxy, like 3,000 light years away, and if you change one of those, do one thing and change that so it's different, the other one will instantaneously change. That's been a scientifically proven fact. This means that this field somehow can transmute knowledge from one point of the universe to the other instantaneously. And it's blowing the minds of many, many scientists. Now, the other thing that's important is that they have found through many, many, many experiments that this energy is conscious. And when they found out that it's conscious and that it actually responds to our conscious, that is what made thousands of atheistic scientists into believers that there maybe is a God. And what they found in this is that when they did these experiments at the very fundamental or the very beginning of these experiments, they were trying to figure out why at a quantum level or at a very, very tiny level of the atoms and the protons, that these strange things would happen. And they would do these experiments, and one time would be one way, another time would be another way, and they finally figured out that what was the determining factor was the expectancy of the observer, the expectancy of the person doing the experiments. And they found that this thing observed and knew what these people were thinking, and it altered these basic units of life to fit the expectancy or the intention of the scientist doing the experiment. And this is absolutely profound. And so they began to realize that everything is conscious. I mean, everything has consciousness, even a rock. In fact, they've also found that there is no such thing as physical matter. It's totally an illusion. And I am talking about science. I'm not talking about anything else. This is real scientific fact to prove that there is no such thing as a solid object, and everything at its very base is consciousness. And this explains why people can perform miracles and do the things that they do that most people don't even believe in, because it's too far beyond their ability to comprehend that such a thing can happen. Now we know that because everything is consciousness, everything is energy, that only thing we need to do is change our consciousness, and we will change the experience that's before us.
Right. Does that mean that these, when the scientists carry out these experiments and they get this response, that unknowingly or without intent, they are actually creating through their own thoughts?
Absolutely, and this is a big concern now in science, even medical science. They know that the expectation or the intent of the person conducting the study, if it's a clinical study or whatever kind of study, they know that the intent is affecting the outcome of the experiment. And it means that most of the clinical studies that have been done really were done improperly, because in almost every case we had expectation, we had intention, and that would always alter the outcome of the study.
And you know, Rich, another example of that is Benavidsky, French scientist, he's won two Nobel Prizes in chemistry during the 90s, and he had proven that water was intelligent, and all the community of scientists who didn't believe him tried to reproduce his results and could not. And they couldn't understand why they could not. And as it turns out, their own skepticism was influencing the outcome, because the water was intelligent and picking it up. The scientists whom did not have the intention to disprove it, by the way, did reproduce the same results. So when Nobel laureate scientists around the world are starting to come out with methods to prove this intelligence, and the community that wants to disprove it can, simply for the same reason you just noted, Rich.
Yes, right. I mean, this is becoming a serious, very serious consideration in all the sciences.
Yes, because you will not eventually know what to believe.
So this leads us to kind of what we're up to. Why don't you expand on that a little bit, Dr.
Yes.
Anderson?
Well, first of all, we know that this unified field of pure potential, that's exactly what it is. It's an energy field that we can tap into, and actually we're already tapping into it. Everyone is. That's basically what we live on. It's what our sun lives on, and every life form in existence lives on it. And it basically supplies the breath that we breathe, the oxygen in our atmosphere. I mean, it's essentially life itself, and this is why so many people actually attribute this as being God. It's not necessarily the God of people who have their own personal interpretation of what God is, but it fits the everything that the Buddhists and the Hindus and the yogis have been saying for thousands of years, talking about the void. Actually, this is in the Bible if you read the Bible properly and understand the Hebrew terminology and the Hebrew gematria, so you can truly understand what the words mean. We know that we affect this unified field every moment of our life. Every time we think a thought, we're affecting this. And what we're trying to do is help people, first of all, realize that every single one of us are unlimited beings. We are unlimited in our potential to create. We now have the facts to prove what ancient wisdom has been saying for thousands of years. We know that there are laws of this universe, the primary law I'm referring to is the law of cause and effect, that for every action there's an opposite and an equal reaction, and it applies to consciousness because consciousness is virtually all there is. And so we know that we reap what we sow. We know that what we think and feel will manifest somehow in our life experience. And yes. What we want to do is first show people that this is a scientific fact. It's validated. We know we can do it. And we are doing it. And second, we want to show them what that process is. How our thoughts, how our feelings, exactly what our thoughts and what our feelings, and how they affect this unified field to create not only manifestation, but to create every experience in our life.
Yes, that's very interesting because it does confirm what is often said in spiritual messages, that we create our own reality. But it also indicates to me that when we look at our collective consciousness, if enough of us wanted to, say, create peace, we could do it quite quickly.
Yes. See, this is what excites me so much, is that with this knowledge, and when we realize that we are truly creators of our destiny, and our lives today is exactly a result of what we've thought and felt in the past, that we will immediately start taking responsibility for what we are creating and what we are thinking. And so we're going to create a program on how to get control over the mind and how to remove all the hindrances, all the limitations that are keeping us from being able to function as true masters of our own reality.
Now, something that you mentioned, I believe, somewhere related to photons, which I have read elsewhere, have a form of communication. Now, I've also read that there is a photon belt entering the universe or encroaching upon this solar system. So, with your way of thinking, what would be the effect of us entering the photon belt?
Let me handle that, Rich. You know, it's one of the reasons that there's such a sense of urgency on our part. The people that have awakened and are waking up around the planet realize that there are energies that are entering into the electromagnetic field of the planet, and that those energies are affecting us because we're dynamically and intrinsically connected to that field. We are electric individuals as well as physical beings. And this entrance of photon energy into the energy field is going to have an effect on the vibrational level and the basic construct of that electromagnetic grid. Well, what's going to happen is, and in fact, I suspect, Mike, you and a lot of the listeners are already seeing this, is that there's starting to be a divide between those that are operating at a higher vibration and those that are operating at a lower vibration. And
yes,
that divide will continue to happen as we approach particularly 2012. And the energies that are entering the field, when they're higher vibrational energies, and if you're operating at a low vibration, it's going to be very difficult for people that are doing that to handle that kind of energy. So it's really timely that people understand that, A, the energies are here and coming, and more are coming, and, B, the vibration level of the planet is raising, and if you are not rising with it, then it's going to cause you an awful lot of problems if you are a low vibrational operating human being. And what Rich has exposed to me, and this was, you know, I wrote about this in the assumptions in the book, but I didn't understand it fully until I actually got with Rich, and he explained quite a bit about the physiological effect, and that not only are you contaminated with vibrational energies from the food and the toxins that we've taken in. I mean, you can attribute some of that to chemtrails or whatever sources you want, but we don't live too healthily. And the intake of foods have their own vibration, and they've contaminated us from the inside. Then we contaminate ourselves mentally by the thoughts that we have. I mean, we all get angry. There are people on the earth that hate blacks, Jews, queers. I mean, you name it. That hate is contaminating them just from their thoughts. And then the feelings and the subconscious that we've buried over a lifetime are also in the way. And all of those are energies. And all of those energies are low vibrational. And all of those low vibrational energies are going to be in direct, you might say it's not going to be in harmony with the resonance that's going to be on the planet and is on the planet now. So I don't think I've answered your question directly in that I'm not explaining what this energy is that you're describing with the photon belt, but I am saying that it's a part of our mixture, a part of our electromagnetic grid here, and that we have to be prepared for that. And that's what we're really up to, is preparing people physically and mentally, conscious and subconscious, to be ready to accept and sympathetically resonate with those energies. Does that make sense?
Yes, indeed. Yes, yes. I could go along with that entirely. Now, you talk about cleaning the subconscious of old energies and resolve karma. I know that you believe in reincarnation, but do you think that people are still carrying energies, perhaps negative energies, from many lifetimes ago?
Let me answer that one. Yes, there is no question about it. In fact, this has been one of my major studies in the last 30 years. I've learned to be able to detect these low vibratory actions or energy fields that we create, and they become stored within our etheric bodies and other parts of our system, and they actually dictate what we can call karma. So we carry them over from lifetime after lifetime until at some point we have some kind of an experience that brings those to the fulfillment. In other words, every thought and feeling that we create, when it reaches a certain intensity, it has, first of all, it has a physiological effect upon us. That's been proven now by the neuroscience that shows that our thoughts and feelings control every chemical action in our system. Plus, these thoughts and fields actually are, many of them are stored in the proteins of our body. This is why cleansing is so important, and this is why it's so difficult for people on a spiritual path who are reading and studying and working on themselves, and years goes by and they feel like they've gotten nowhere. And one of the reasons they don't go anywhere is because the consciousness that they're trying to rise above has solidified in its own, what you might call tape, or it's registered in consciousness in the proteins of our bodies. And until we can clean out these proteins at a certain speed, we cannot get past this influence of our past so that we can break through and attach ourselves into the higher part. You follow what I'm saying?
Yes, indeed, yes.
And this is really important. This is why as long as we've had history, we know that the spiritual aspirants always engaged in fasting and cleansing the body. And the reason they were doing that wasn't just to have a cleaner inside. It was to have a cleaner consciousness, because they knew that our consciousness is majorly affected by the consciousness that's stored in the proteins of the body. So we can change that with cleansing and fasting, and we make amazing progress. But the way it really works is that thoughts are real solid objects. If you could move to the realm that thoughts function in, at that particular vibration or that plane of existence, they would appear as solid objects. They have an energy field. They have an energy matrix. They have color. They have form, and they hold the old consciousness from which they were birthed. And we have thousands and thousands of these thought forms, at least the average person does, stored in what we call the subconscious mind. But the subconscious mind is a field that surrounds us. And so it's in our aura and things like that. And so this is, some are dormant, waiting to be activated, and some are active, and the ones that are active are a major part of our personalities. And so the spiritual aspirant has got to realize that sooner or later that our identification to the physical plane or to the plane of duality is that which holds us from realizing who and what we really are. And so the whole activity of the yogi, for example, all their practice in meditation and in developing control of their thoughts and feelings, their minds, all of those exercises are to get to a certain point in which they stop identifying with duality. And once they stop being influenced by duality, that's when they achieve enlightenment. And so we now know that it's our thoughts and feelings that unite into a powerful vortex. That is, if they were charged enough times with enough energy, they become very powerful influence upon us, and they are the patterns in our lives that cause us to function the way we do, cause us to think the way we think, cause our physiology to take the forms that they take. They are the cause of our disease. And I, for example, I have seen, by removing a simple thought form, I've seen a terminal case of cancer disappear in a very, very short time. Actually, we don't know how long it was, because it was 30 days before they were tested by an oncologist and found out that their terminal case of cancer was completely gone. And I believe that the new age of healing is going to be removing these thought forms. And that's an area of my expertise. That's part of Cleanse and Purify. I have my first book, Cleanse and Purify Thyself, was on cleansing the body. And now I'm going to be writing a book, I don't know when it'll be done, but a book called Cleanse and Purify Book 3, and that's clearing the thought forms out of our subconscious and out of our existence. Because when we do that, that's when we make amazing, amazing progress. And that's when we come to healing our bodies. We can strengthen our bodies. I mean, it's unlimited what we can do when we finally get in control of our lives, realize what we've done to ourselves, and now we know how to stop being a victim, and we become master of our life. And that's basically what we're trying to do.
That's terrific to hear all that, and it's very interesting. But getting down to perhaps a very basic problem that some people have who are aspiring to lift their consciousness up, how do they get rid of, say, undesirable thoughts that keep coming into their mind? I mean, they wouldn't act on them, but they seem to be hanging on to them somehow.
Well, that's a very good question, and
I tell you, Rich, if I address this, and it's actually, I use something that's very simple, which has worked like magic for me, because we've all had that problem, Mike. I'm glad you brought it up. And that is that the moment that when you have a thought that is not a high vibrational thought based on love or some derivative of that emotion, then invariably it will always make you feel badly. And that's kind of like your human navigation system. When you're thinking about, when you're not feeling good for some reason emotionally, then you can always stop and look at what are you thinking about. And you'll find that you're always thinking about something that you don't like. I mean, Wayne Dyer is a big advocate of this as well. And what I do, and I know other people that have done this as well, and it does work, is immediately change the thought to something that you do like and something that you do want, something above higher vibrational energy. And it works like magic, because you'll find in auditing yourself that this happens quite frequently during your day, that you are thinking about things you do not want. But now I'm going to go to one other point here. Going through the cleansing protocol myself that Rich developed 20 years ago, I found that once I had cleaned the inside out of all the toxins and all of the stuff on the inside, which also is a vibrating energy as well, and cleaned those out, and that's really just a physical cleanse, that my control and my clarity of understanding what I'm doing and my conscious ability to control thought became greatly enhanced. So I think the answer to your question is, like, step one in grade school on this is that you first have to clean the inside out. And once you do that, then you actually will and exaggerate your ability to control your thoughts. And I have found that to be true for me, and I've heard that from a lot of people who have done cleansing.
Well, you know, there's an old saying that as within, so the without.
Yes.
And that's a very powerful statement that's absolutely true. And so what you said was absolutely true. It was one of the best things anybody ever can do to overcome a certain thought pattern is to think of something else. But the problem is that just changing your mind to something else doesn't get rid of that thought form.
Right.
That's feeding you that impulse to think those thoughts. And we have to get rid of those thought forms. And that's a subject that I began to study in 1964. And I had a teacher back then that was expert on that, could see the thought forms. And that they're not that hard to see, actually. It's just a tiny little octave beyond our normal seeing, and you can actually see thought forms. And and when you can see it, you can nail the guy, and you can get rid of it right there in within seconds. I kid you not. And this is something that, this is what I've been doing for, especially for the last 12 years, is just focused on myself. I took a break from work. I left to Rise and Shine, and I basically lived in the mountains, and I just focused on getting rid of these thought forms that have been dominating and controlling my life for ever since I was born. And I had such success that it's completely transformed my entire life. And I see things and experience things that most people don't experience. And because I'm getting closer to being who I really am. And that's so important. People need to realize that there's basically two parts of our being. One is who we really are, which is singular, which is united with everything, which is this awesome consciousness that is super, super aware, and that's where people become or where they receive cosmic consciousness. And the other part is that part which dwells in duality, and we can call that the human personality or the human ego. Human ego is basically that which sees separation. And this is when I have something that is suddenly, all of a sudden I got something coming up and I'm dealing with something that I don't want, the first thing I recognize is that's coming from the illusion of my thinking that I am a separate individual from the whole. In other words, it's ego consciousness. And as soon as I recognize that this is ego consciousness, it's a thought form that I created in the past that's come back to influence me, immediately it loses its power over me. And then I seek it out, and I dissolve that, and I replace it with light and love and joy and peace and everything you can think of that's positive, and that's it. When it's gone, it's gone. And it never returns. And this is what I believe to be the most powerful thing that anybody could ever learn if they want to transform their lives into lives of love and joy and peace and perfect health and everything else. Who knows what our potential really is until we get there and experience it?
Yeah, you know, and Mike, I'll just throw one comment in. It's kind of, you know, we've all heard of the term enlightenment, that,
yes,
you know, we describe people as being enlightened. And there's some esoteric knowledge that kind of fits with what Rich is saying, and that is these thought forms and that negative energy that we're talking about, Yes, at the cellular level, but the cells are made of atoms. And actually, it's within the atom. You know, we talked in the last show that 99% of the atom is actually open space, which is this zero point, this consciousness that Rich is talking about. And yes. And if you look at it like kind of like a fluid, that the electrons are swirling around in there, around the nucleus of the atom, and if it's in a soup that's kind of thick, and that's old negative energy, then they don't spin very fast. And that spinning causes a frequency of who you actually are. That's how you're operating. But when you release these thought patterns that are causing these thoughts that you describe, which was your original question,
yeah.
Then you release it, the electrons start spinning faster because the soup is lightened up. It's not as thick. The energy field there is not as dense. It's less dense. You've lightened it. So to the degree that you do this, you actually are enlightening yourself. You're lightening yourself up, and your vibration will then go higher. And by the way, what Rich was talking about actually seeing the thought forms, which he can do and I can't, and I'm envious, and I'll get there, but he has raised his vibrational level up high enough to where that capability is present for him, and the beauty of it is it could be present for all of us.
Right. Just a comment on thought forms. Many, many years ago, I had a book which was illustrated, written by a person called Leadbitter, and I must say, his thought forms were rather interesting, because the most notable part of it was that pleasant, nice thought forms had a nice, pleasant look, whereas the opposite looked very rough and jagged, which I found not too surprising.
Yeah, that's consistent with Matsumoto's evidence of the water crystals, when, you know, the negative energy would make the crystals look very ugly, and the loving intentions would make them look like diamonds and snowflakes.
Right. Now,
well, we know that Leadbitter and Annie Besant were extraordinary clairvoyants. They really did see the things that they saw, and we know that because they described the atom in a book that they wrote in 1894 called, suddenly left me, but they wrote occult chemistry, that's what it was occult chemistry, and they wrote about the atom, and it took science over 100 years to be able to prove everything that they said. And what science did is they actually proved all the things that they had said about the atom. And they studied the atom through their clairvoyance. So clairvoyance is a real thing that anybody can develop if they know how and they go to the effort to do it.
Right. Now, funnily enough, I was going to ask you about the ego, and I still will. What place will it have with your development in the future? Because it seems that the ego is somehow sort of interfering with what you want to do.
You mean you as an individual personally?
Well, I'm thinking of most people seem to have this little inner voice, which isn't always the most useful advice. It seems like it says, well, you always did it this way. This is what you like to do, and you may not.
Well, you know, our own subconscious has a voice, basically. And, I mean, there's various portions of our consciousness that can talk to us. And it can talk us into good things, and it can talk us into bad things, etc. And a lot of times it's... And people need to understand this. And they need to understand that when they start hearing voices coming from within them, this does not mean they're talking to an angel or a master or anything else. It could just be their own voice, or it could be the voice of anything out there. I mean, there's a lot of beings out there that can talk to people if the people are receptive to that particular frequency.
But, you know, to answer your question a little more thoroughly, I think you know, there's a lot of teachings, and the Bible actually teaches this as well, the old love your enemies and turn the other cheek and that sort of thing, where it's describing a process where you love everything, right? Well, that's pretty hard to do. And when somebody's in your face and attacking you and verbally or otherwise, it's very difficult to be a loving human being towards those people. But indeed, when you're walking around the planet and you're incurring circumstances that cause you to emotionally react, I'm sure we all know people, including ourselves, that have triggers where circumstances we run into cause us to think certain things or feel a certain way, and it's not always so favorable, that you really should thank the circumstance, because that is a thought form that it just raised to your conscious mind for your attention that says, hey, you need to deal with this. This is not the circumstance causing this. This is a wake-up call for you, because it's something just surfaced in you that says, hey, I'm here. Here I am. And it's making you feel really badly. And anger is not a good feeling, right? So you really should thank the circumstances that you run into that are causing you to react, because those are the thought forms that Rich is talking about. And until you recognize that you have them, you can't deal with them. And the moment that you recognize that you have them, then you can claim with vigor that is not you. That's your ego. Right.
Yes, and these our thoughts basically control every aspect of our lives. Every aspect of our lives. And the thought forms I'm talking about. And that the question people should be asking is, do I want to be controlled by these any longer, or do I want to be in control of them? And in a sense, again, that's what we're all about.
Right. Now, you talk of balancing the emotional and mental energies. How would you know if you're achieving any success in doing that?
Well, the more we reduce these thought forms that are controlling us, I mean, all it takes is removing one and we change. And granted, we can have another similar one and another similar one to that too. And at first, it seems like an endless endeavor, and only occasionally do we suddenly realize, hey, wait a minute, I'm a lot different. But when a person really gets on the path of purifying themselves, and they start out with anger and hate and resentment and fears, and all of a sudden one day they wake up and say, wait a minute, I don't have any more anger. I don't have any more fear. A fear is probably going to be the last one you're going to get rid of, but there's a lot of things that are going to happen that are going to show you that, hey, this is really working. I don't have these resentments towards people anymore or situations. And pretty soon you notice you're starting to love everybody and everything, and then you know that it really works. Because I have removed thought forms at times that were so much of my personality that for the next 24 hours, I hardly knew who I was. I mean, I was just staggering around wondering, wow, what in the world happened? Yeah. And then the next day I kind of balance out, but this has happened to me many, many, many times, but the bottom line for me is I started out with a lot of anger and a lot of resentment, and there isn't any more that I'm aware of left in me. Not that something might still be stored down in there someplace, but right now I walk down the street and I meet people and I am just so full of love that I'm constantly happy. I'm one of the happiest people I know.
I've tried to make it, man. I haven't been able to.
And when I started out, I was the most unhappy person I've ever known.
Right.
But now I just radiate this love, and it's love that makes us happy. And the money monger or the power hungry person, you know, these people get their thrill and their joy out of life by these emotions, but what it boils down to is those are the emotions that turn them on, because they love it. They love the feeling that's there.
Yes.
But we can get to a point where It's just pure love. We love for the pure joy of loving. And that is the most healing, that is the most powerful thing anybody can ever get to.
Yeah, and it's noticeable, to give you an example, it's akin to getting rid of a phobia. You know, somebody is afraid of water. And
yes,
it's an obsessive kind of feeling, but once that form, thought form is gone, of course it's noticeable that they're no longer afraid of water. So it is that dramatic, and that it is that recognizable.
I'll give you one great example. I was taking some people up a snowy mountain up in the North Cascades of Washington, and it got really steep, and the snow was compact, and one lady was just freaking out. She was afraid that if she fell, she could get killed, and da-da-da-da-da, and White Crow and myself, we would climb up the hill a little ways. We'd slide down backwards and on our backs and on our stomachs and every which way to show at that particular point there was absolutely no danger. But this lady was crying her head off in absolute fear. And at that point I realized she was dealing with a past life thought form of where she either got killed or got seriously injured in a condition, in an area that was similar to this. And I found the thought form, was able to dissolve it, and then she wondered from then on what in the world she was ever afraid of, and we went up into an area that was far worse than what it was before, and she had no fear whatsoever.
Wow.
That's a wonderful
story. I've seen that
story
many, many, many times.
Yeah. I could just mention very briefly that I can see that in my own wife, because she has an absolute terror of heights, but particularly walking across these like rope bridges. She was out on holiday once and her party had to walk across one, and she just couldn't do it in any circumstances, and she still feels like that now.
You're right, and all that is a thought form that's overpowering her at that point. And these thought forms are so powerful that they overcome all logic and all reason.
Yes.
They're just there.
Yes. Now, do you believe that we are humans having a spiritual experience?
I know we're spiritual beings having a human experience.
Yeah.
Right.
Well.
I mean, that's one of the things, Mike, that Rich teed up early was about the holographic nature of 3D. And as a lot of people, the listeners to your show, know that as we march into 2012, that the veil being lifted between 3D and 4D and 5D is thinning so that we can operate more interdimensional. And by doing so, then we will recognize that the physical universe that we are immersed in really is a cross-section of multiple energies, like a hologram, which is the best visual I can give you, that creates something that looks physical, but indeed it isn't. It is an illusion. But we control that illusion. So as a spiritual being having a human experience, that is the essence of what we're trying to reach, which is a mastery of being able to control those energies that form physical matter. It's almost like the alchemy of the past where the alchemists would transform different metals to gold. I mean, that's a simple process if you understood how to use those energies. But in order to employ those types of skills or to have that knowledge, you can't do it if you're vibrating very low. And so it's kind of like stage one is let's kind of clean up the garbage and get the vibration higher so that you can start evolving more quickly. And by the way, to the degree that you do, the new energies that are entering the planet, which you mentioned earlier, you'll be able to absorb and to sympathetically resonate with those energies so that they are increasing your capacity instead of causing you issues because you're vibrating low. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Indeed, yes. Yes, it's the law of attraction, isn't it?
Yeah, and the law of attraction is very similar. I mean, you're plugged into the universe based on how you've chosen to be as a human being, which has a frequency, and it changes. I mean, you fluctuate all the time, but to the basic homeostasis of what you are, you're plugged in, and whatever that level you're plugged into, you're going to resonate with like energies, and if it's not good, then you're going to attract not good into your life. I mean, it's really that simple.
It is. That's exactly true. So that's why we need to get rid of all these dark feelings that are in our consciousness, so we attract that which we want as opposed to that which we do not want.
Right.
It's obviously a wonderful time to be on the earth and to have this opportunity of raising our vibrations. One of the most frequent questions I'm asked is, what do I have to do? But what would be your sort of short answer to that?
Is there a short answer to that, Reg?
Well, we can always give an outline. Basically, the outline is this, is first understand the situation and what our capabilities really are. And then the next is that if we do this, then that. I mean, it's in algebra, we know that if this, then that. And so also with our own beings is that once we apply certain principles, there will be a reaction. And so basically what we want to do is teach people the basics in terms of, first of all, this is what science says, this is what ancient wisdom says, and these are what thoughts and feelings are and what they do. And now our next step is to remove the thoughts and feelings we do not want. But we need to know where we're going. We need to know what our goal is. And if our goal is complete self-mastery, so we're never again affected by outside circumstances, then we got a lot of work to do. But that work is, sooner or later, we have to do it. And what we want to do is help people do it sooner than later, because we got some amazing things happening on this planet. And there's a lot of fearful things that we have to overcome, because we cannot function in fear. We got to realize that our thoughts are extremely powerful, and if we buy into the fear syndrome, then we know that we are participating in the very same thing that we do not want.
Right,
and we're helping to create it.
So it's really kind of a several-step process. I mean, one is to understand. You know, most of the people on the masses out there, Mike, are really unaware of what science actually knows. So stage one is kind of okay. Let's bring you up to date on human beings and human energy and what you actually are, that's provable, so that you get a grasp of what and who you are as a human being. I mean, that's just some knowledge that's out there, and it's in the mainstream, but most people are unaware. The second stage would then be to cleanse yourself physically, and that will raise your vibration, and that will also allow some of these thought patterns to start surfacing. And stage three would then be to start ridding yourself of those thought patterns and cleansing your feelings and thoughts. And then stage four would be leading you towards the laws and practices that you, the skills and the capabilities that you were born with, that you've been dormant and haven't been available to you because you were, you know, had so many obstacles in your way. So it's really kind of a four-stage process. Now, reaching mastery of really controlling, like Buddha and Krishna and Jesus, that's a pretty lofty ambition. However, it's achievable. And in fact, each of them had told in their own words that we would achieve that as individuals. I think it's time we gave it a try, don't you?
Well, you know, Jesus, the most important statement of the Bible was spoken by Jesus when he said, all the things I've ever done, he said, all the things I have done, you can also do, and greater things than these shall you do. And for some reason, it seems like most people miss those words. But in my opinion, those are the most important words ever spoken.
Yeah, maybe we didn't miss them, but we just didn't believe them.
Exactly.
And we can thank science for kind of catching this up to show us, hey, that's really possible.
Yeah, that's it.
Mike, you still there?
Hello?
Yeah.
Right, I'm sorry, we're having a little bit of problem with sound. You've been fading away quite a bit, but I'm assuming you can hear me quite clearly. So could you just check in with me that you can hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Oh, you can, okay. Is it clear? Because you seem to be fading and getting a bit clipped. And there was obviously some problems there.
We're
not quite at the end of the program yet, but clearly I want to allow you a little time to tell us about your book, The Assumptions, where it can be bought. You can give our listeners your website address. But is it the Assumptions that covers most of the subjects that we've been talking about?
Well, actually, The Assumptions originally was written as an instrument to bring all the belief systems in the world together. And it doesn't have all the things that we are discussing today. We're going to create a joint website. Rich has two already, Arise and Shine, which is his supplement company where his cleansing protocols are and his cleansing products. And then cleanse.net is his book, which is the Cleanse and Purify Thyself, which is, you know, everybody should read it if they haven't. And then mine, The Assumptions, originally put in place for bringing the belief, the various religions and belief systems together to explain scientifically why they all work, that there is an actual formula that they all use. I mean, think about this for a minute, Mike, and I'll plug this just for a second, if you don't mind, that religions in the world and all belief systems in the world basically accomplish three things. They teach you how to feel about or what to think about a certain matter, and then they teach you how to feel about that matter, and then they teach you what to do in regards to that matter. And when you synchronize those three ideas, those three energies together, they're very, very powerful, and they create. And that's what we've been talking about this whole interview, is that the synchronizing those energies to create. Well, when you do that, then the experience you're going to have is real and undeniable. And if it's undeniable, then you're going to want to have other people have that experience, so you'll share with other people, and you'll try to convert them to your system.
Okay.
The assumption is written.
I'm going
to
have to stop you there, James and Dr. Rich, because we're still having a little bit of problem with your sound, and we have effectively reached the end of the program. So I would like to thank you very, very much for coming on to it. It's been an extremely interesting talk with you, and I'm sure you're going to get a lot of interest in your efforts to spread the knowledge. So thank you again for coming onto the program. When I do my archive write-up, I will make sure that your website address is on there, then anybody who's missed anything that you've spoken about in the last few minutes can get a look up on that one. Right, thanks again. Dear friends, I have to tell you that next week my guest will be Paul Winter. A little bit unusual compared to my usual visitors, but he wants to spread the word about alternative cancer treatment, so that should be interesting. So that's Paul Winter for next Friday. Thank you for being with me today, and I hope you can make it next week. Thank you, everyone. God bless you.